We're going to look this morning and begin in Ephesians. We have been talking about the wrath of God and how God does show his anger to disobedience and to sin. Last week, we read about how just out of arrogance they didn't obey God and 100,000 people died at one time. And how another group of people became so comfortable with their relationship with God, they had forgot in many generations before that God had told them this is the Ark of the Covenant and this is how it's to be handled. And they became very despondent and very apathetic in the Word of God, and they wasn't taught from generation to generation to generation. And so they opened up the Ark and 70,000 people died. There is a wrath of God. You cannot understand the love of God until you understand the wrath of God. Religion so focuses on the love of God that they have forgotten that he is a wrathful God and that he is a holy God, and he is first and foremost is holy. So, what is the wrath of God? You see, there's a lot of pestilences that are coming into our nation and our world because of sin. A lot of diseases, a lot of flooding, a lot of tornadoes, a lot of just fires, a lot of pestilences. And nobody wants to stand and look at why this is coming. We want science to define it for us instead of, as children of God, we look into the Word of God of why these things are happening. God loves us enough to bring pestilence and disturbances in our lives so that we would know that he is God. For if we don't know that he is God and we don't know our relationship and how he sees us, then we are under this wrath that has been demonstrated by God through his word and saying, I have condemned all of mankind. See, one man sinned and it represented all of humanity, and so therefore we are all under the wrath of God, and you're born under the wrath of God, and there's nothing you can do about that. That's just the state of humanity, and we don't look at it like that. Religion wants to make it like, well, you're being bad, and you're lying, you're cheating, you're stealing, you're homosexual, you're all of these things that are abominations of God, and you stop doing those things, and you're going to be okay with God. Well, you can stop doing all those things, and you're still not okay with God, because that's works. You see, if I work real hard and I behave myself and I change, the habits that I'm doing, that's works. And God says that this is a gift from him and it's not of works, lest man should boast. So we're going to begin reading in chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, and you were dead in your trespasses of sin. So nobody knows this until they read this. You don't know that you're born dead. You don't know that there's a spiritual deadness, there's a spiritual vacancy in your life unless you read it. And if you don't read this and God doesn't reveal what that means to you, you can never come to that saving knowledge of who he is and what God is all about. But you were dead in your trespasses and sin. That means you're separated. Dead people are separated from this earth. They're separated from their loved ones. And when you are dead in your trespasses of sin, then there's a holy God that you're separated from. You have to understand that sin is what separates our nature that causes us to sin is what separates us from God. And God, because of his holiness, can't love us enough to take away his holiness. So he had to provide a different way so that there would not be this wrath. And what is the wrath? The wrath that's coming is there's eternal damnation. There's a lake of fire that if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be thrown into this lake of fire. There is a true, real place called hell, okay, where there's wailing and there's gnashing of teeth. The fire is not quenched. The worms never die is what the word tells us about. And so you're dead in your trespasses of sin, and this is what brings on the wrath in our life. But he reminds the church here in Ephesus that in which you formerly walked. So something happened to these people where they no longer walked in that deadness. And that was the giving of the Holy Spirit that now did not reside upon them, but now resides within them. You see, the Holy Spirit works upon the lives of people to bring them to that saving knowledge of who God is, so that God can give them this gift of salvation and seal them with the Holy Spirit. It's called being born again, as he tried to explain that to Nicodemus, and it just dumbfounded Nicodemus how someone could be born again. And Jesus himself could not explain when a man is born again. He said it's just like the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. But it has its purpose, and you'll know it's been there. And that's where his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. But he reminds them, you formerly walked this way. Never forget, and I think that's why there's not much compassion in our world today, because I don't think many have found the fact of what true salvation is. I think we have become so religious that, see, I know what I am. He's made it very clear to me what I am. And through his word, I know what I am. And I cannot, in my mind's eye, understand why he would still allow me to have a relationship with him. And therefore, this causes us to have compassion on those that are born this way. We are born this way. Okay, this is not something that I make a decision. It's something I was born, and I can't do anything about that. And so I have that compassion now when I deal with others. The church should have more compassion on folks that are lost and don't know their way. And God wrote this so that we would no longer be lost. He wrote this in the Word. He wrote it very plainly. So he gives the Holy Spirit to us to lead us through all truth so that we will know that we're not lost. So we walk formally according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So you're either a son of obedience or you're a son of disobedience. There's no other choices that there is according to Scripture. It says, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature. Listen to this. I'm going to back up what I'm saying, folks. Always, ever who's teaching you something about God, make sure they can take you to Scripture. Make sure they can back it up. Make sure they just haven't pulled some passage of Scripture out and make it what they want. But make sure you read it. And you'll read it in several different areas, because Scripture always defines Scripture. And this is how we keep ourselves from being deceived by Satan, who disguises himself as an angel of light to confuse us about the Word of God, so that we never come to know who we are and we never come to know who God is. He says, by nature, we're children of wrath, even as the rest. That means there's no one that is not a child of wrath. We are born children of wrath, and God is going to bring his judgment upon us. And if we do not have the fear of God in our lives, and we're not teaching our children to fear God, and we do not bring them to that point where fear, what does wisdom begin? Where does knowledge begin? Both by the fear of God. Okay? But God, being rich in his mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us. See, we don't understand God's love. We think it's just a love that, oh, I just love them. I created them and I love them. Well, partly true, but his love is extended to us because he's holy and because we're children of wrath. And he knows that if we don't come to the saving knowledge of who he is, we will have to suffer that wrath. And he doesn't want us to do that. So he's done something for us that we could not do for ourselves in sending his son. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Okay. The grace of God is that he extends these invitations, it's a good thing that we are convicted. You see, you're not convicted by the Holy Spirit. You're not supposed to be convicted by the church. You're supposed to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one that has the right that God has given to convict the world of their sins. When we're convicted of our sins, then we begin to question, why do we sin? And now we understand that we can't do anything but sin because that is our nature, to sin. And so now, because we cannot do anything in the flesh to please God according to Scripture, we're hopelessly, helplessly lost. Nothing we can do about it. But God intercedes for us by sending His Son, a representation, first and foremost, to save the nation of Israel. Jesus came to save the nation of Israel from their sins. It was God's broader plan to graft you and me in, which again should make us appreciate God's love even more, something He didn't have to do. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 10. It wouldn't be fair to me to tell you about all the wrath of God in the Old Testament, the wrath of God in the times of the biblical times, but I have to share with you there's a wrath coming. It's at the end of the time and the end of the ages when all men will be judged. Did you know the Bible says that every word that proceeds from your mouth will be judged? And we'll all stand before God and receive our due just. It says, now as to the times and epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Isn't it mind-boggling to you that Jesus Christ, the holy and pure, blameless Lamb of God, doesn't even know when He's returning? I don't think we talk a lot about the second coming of Christ. I think we have put it so far in our past and that we just don't understand that all that you see and all that you touch is going to burn up with an intense fire, that the judgment of God will become upon a sinful world. And I think we don't forget that. I think we forget that. I think we don't understand that. But it's going to be like a thief in the night. It's going to be like when we least expect it. See, most people think that the end of time is going to come when the world gets so bad and everything is so wrong. But it's going to be a delusion. God is going to give a delusion over to the people so they will believe things that are false. There's going to come a time where God said, I'm done. And now the delusion will come upon mankind and he will believe what is false. So during that time of delusion, everybody's going to think everything's going well. It's not going to be a time of devastation. It's going to be, wow, this is great. We're going to be marrying, and he says, and just going around our life, and things are going to be grand. And he says, while they were saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. So we can't predict when this time is going to come, but just be aware of the signs and the epochs of time, that when things start settling down and you think that things are going well and there's form of godliness but devoid of the Spirit, Just be aware. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you all are the sons of light, the sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. In other words, spend that quiet time each day with the Lord. Okay? How do you know someone if you don't spend time with them? How can you say that you have a relationship with someone that you don't know? For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of the hope of salvation. You see, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So understand that those that are born again, those that have a true relationship with God, that has been God's work. It says we're His workmanship for His good pleasure. So those that have experienced that can rest comfortably knowing that they will not have to suffer the wrath of God. Now, we'll have to suffer a lot of the pestilences and a lot of the tribulations and a lot of that, because it rains on the just and the unjust. So understand, when you understand this and when things happen, you can deal with them in the proper manner by trusting who God is during these times. Let's look at Romans 5, 8 through 11. It says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him." See, the salvation is not about going to heaven. It's about being saved from the wrath of God. What makes heaven heaven is the presence of God. No one that has in the flesh and stays in the flesh will go and be in the presence of God for eternity. Flesh begets flesh, and that's all flesh can beget. And the Spirit begets the Spirit. First comes the flesh, then comes the Spirit, according to Scripture. And therefore, if you are not born again and you remain dead in your trespasses of sin, then you're not going to understand God's love. God's love is not you have a perfect life. God's not love is that you have no health problems or any problems in this world. God's love is that you come to the end of yourself and whatever He has to do to bring you to that. But we're not telling people that God may be bringing you to the end of yourself so that you can look up and begin to understand the revelation of God in our lives of who we are and what we are and what we're born as. So, but we'll be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were yet enemies, we are reconciled to God. And I guarantee you today, you go into all the world and ask them if you're enemy of God, people will tell you, no, they're not. Well, they can't know that they're enemy of God if they don't read it. That's why God left His written word, so that we would know this. There's no one that's not an enemy of God. You are born an enemy of God, according to passage of Scripture, while we were yet enemies of Almighty God because of our sinful nature and because of our sinful acts, we are totally contradictory to God's commandments. You see, it's the commandments of God that killed us. Apart from the commandments, we were alive in the flesh. But when the commandments came, we became dead in the flesh and dead in the Spirit. That's why it says Christ quickens us back to life. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we'll be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. You understand that Jesus Christ was just an instrument of God. Yes, He was God's Holy Son, but He was the instrument that God used to reconcile us back to Himself after He grafted us in. He grafted the nation of the Gentiles in so He would make both one man. So there is no slave, there is no male, there is no female. Are you a child of God or are you a child of devil? I mean, that's basically what God's word says. We're either sons of disobedience or we're sons of obedience, and we have to be born into the sons of obedience through the work of God upon us in our lives. And then Ephesians 5, 1 through 7, he tells us to be imitators of God as beloved children. He didn't say be imitators of Jesus. He said be imitators of God. Now Jesus was that human flesh representation of God's character, so we got to see God in the flesh through his son Jesus Christ, and it was all written in scripture so that we would see the character of God, so we would know who God is. So he says to be imitators of God as beloved children. Did you know that little boys like to emulate their fathers? You go out and you see the father's dressed a certain way. Well, here comes the little boy dressed just like his father. And a lot of little boys grow up acting like their fathers because that's how they saw their father act. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. But they like to emulate. Well, he's telling us to emulate God the Father. And we saw how God the Father acted. We saw that, and it was written out plainly in Scripture, how Jesus Christ was an obedient son. Matter of fact, Jesus goes on to say that the Father loves me because I was obedient. That I'm obedient to the point of death, a death I didn't deserve, but a death that was given to me so that God could love and show his love so that we wouldn't suffer his wrath. It says, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you. This is an agape love. This isn't a fuzzy feeling love. An agape love has no emotion. If God had loved us based on emotion, we wouldn't be here. Matter of fact, he destroyed the whole world one time and kept 8 folks through the flood. But because there was no change in nature, we now have what we have today, a world that's disobedient and disrespectful to a holy God. He's not our buddy in the sky. Okay, he's not the big man upstairs. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. He's the great I am. He gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So meaning God was pleased with the work that Christ did in this work, in this walk on this earth, and given himself up. You know, he could have not done that. Matter of fact, Scripture goes on to say that when Peter drew his sword, he told him to put it up. He said, you know what, don't you understand? I could call a legion of angels to rescue me from this period of time in my life. But here's where but immorality or any impurity or greed must not be even named among you as is proper among the saints. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to hate our sin. When we become that child of God, sin must become distasteful in our lives. We can't have the nature of God in us and be okay with sin. We can't stay as God found us. He accepts us as we are, but his love is greater than that to not keep us where he finds us. There must not be filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is a daughter has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. We don't talk about that a lot, do we? See, we don't talk about repentance, do we? We don't talk about turning from the wickedness of our hearts. We can't repent until we're born again. We'll try, and the flesh will try. If we could repent in the flesh, then Christ died needlessly. This is that great gift that he gives us so that we have the power now to keep his. We don't keep the commandments to be saved. We keep his commandments because we are saved. It says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. We are not to participate in the deeds of darkness. The church is not to welcome in lifestyles and sin and people that want to remain in their sin. This is an auditorium of sick people. You're sick. You're desperately wicked and you're sick. This is a hospital where God comes and he's the great physician through his son Jesus Christ and heals us from our infirmities and puts us upon the solid rock and gives us the strength to endure all that life has to throw at us so that those that endure to the end will be saved. And the whole process of our life is to repent from our sins and be pleasing to holy God. Not taught a lot, is it? Let's look at Colossians 3, 5 and 6. He goes on to tell us now, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. We live in a world where immorality is now normal. People don't get married anymore. We fornicate on a first date. We breed like dogs and cats. There's no substance to family anymore. Our immorality, our impurity, that's just a natural way of life that we've accepted. The church, the modern day religious church, has accepted that. It says we're to consider the members dead to it, separated from it. That's our battle now, is that we keep from this by the power of God that he's given to us. And there'll be times it will fail. That's why it says that Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us when we do sin. But we'll never be happy. We'll never be comfortable in that sin. We'll never be comfortable with anything that's written in Scripture that God says is an abomination. We cannot live comfortably that way. Impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it's because of these things that the wrath of God... I'm just telling you, I didn't just pick out one passage of Scripture to tell you this is what this is about. This is all through Scripture. God has written this so many times in here so that we would know that the wrath of God is coming. And we'll close 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. It says, for they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living true God. So again, there was a repentance there. The word of God came and revealed to them and knew that they were serving the wrong God. The most difficult thing in our world today is to convince religious people that they're serving the wrong God. That they're serving a God that man created. They're serving a Jesus that man created instead of the true Jesus and the true God. They even warned us. God even warned us in the Scriptures that if you've received a different Jesus than what we're preaching, he's warning us that there's other people who come out here and sell them a Jesus that doesn't exist. And to wait, tell us to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from what? The wrath to come. Oh, actually, I got through that quicker. I got 7 minutes. Look at Revelation 19. We don't look in Revelations very often. We don't look at the fact that God's going to kill a third of the people on the earth before the end of time comes. You know how many millions and millions of people that is at one time that God's going to kill? He says, "And I saw heaven opened up, and behold, a white horse. And he sat on it and called faithful and true. In his righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself." He's talking about Jesus Christ. "He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." So the Word of God was in the beginning with God when he created the world. And the Word, who was with God, became flesh. And then that Word went back to God. And now the Word right here will execute God's judgment, and he will execute God's wrath upon the sinful world. "In armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress with the fierce wrath of God." Jesus Christ is going to carry out the judgment of God and the wrath of God. And God is very plainly telling us this is all about his wrath. He's telling it all about, it's about sin. It's all about disobeying him. We can't compromise with God. Once God wrote it in Scripture, you cannot change it. But man is trying to change it. Man is changing the nomenclature. Man is changing names in it. The New Living Bible, they're sitting there and taking it so people can understand it in a fleshly manner. God says, "You can't understand this unless I reveal it to you. You can't get this. It has to be revealed to you." "In his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." See, God has given him all authority on earth and in heaven. He was pleased to do that with his son. But you know what Jesus does at the end of the time? He goes and give it all back to the Father. In Revelation 20:15, "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he's thrown in the lake of fire, thus the wrath of God."